Read me to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 17. Thank you very much for inviting me to your pulpit, and I believe it is one of the greatest privileges as a sinner, to share or speak His word to other sinners like you. So we are all sinners, but God is so gracious and He wants to speak to us. John 17, 1 through 10. Here's the word of God. When Jesus had spoken these words, He lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world exists. I have manifested your name to the people whom you have gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them, and have come to know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Shall we pray? Oh, Father, this time we pray that you will speak to us. Please bring the near presence of Christ in our heart. We want to magnify the grace of Christ, the love of Christ among our gathering. Would you please be worshipped by us? Would you please bless us? And would you please be with us? Please reveal our sins before you, but at the same time, please be tender to us. Father, we love you, and please be with us. We pray in the name of Christ. Amen. The Gospel of John, John chapters 14 through 16, is a one long speech of Jesus Christ. And our Lord said, let not your heart be troubled. John 14, 1. And he also said, peace I leave with you, and it is my peace that I given unto you, John 14, 27. Christ expressed his love to his disciples, and he tried to comfort them, and he tried to assure them he's not going to leave them as an orphan. But he still sees their troubled heart. So John 16, 6. Because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. So in our text, verse 1, when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven. Our Lord cannot even pause and rest before he prays for us. Our Lord cannot even move to another private place to pray for us. He just breaks out and he opens up his mouth to pray to the Heavenly Father. So he now prays for the disciples. But I want you to know that his prayer in our text is not only for the disciples, but it is for us as well. John 17, 20, I don't ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Therefore, It is there. It is before the disciples. It is before us that our Lord brings our uttermost needs to God. Father, the hour has come, and glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. So this morning, I want to study together the glory of God. There are three observations that we can notice or learn from the text. First, the Son glorifies the Father. Second, the Father glorifies the Son. And lastly, we glorify the Son. Firstly, Christ glorifies the Father. If we read verse 4, Jesus said, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. So here we find that Christ has been glorifying the Father by accomplishing the work that the Father has given to him. Then what's the nature? What is that work? We can find a clue in verse 6. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. So the work given by the Father is making manifest the Father's name to his people, to sinners. But let's note that quickly. The phrase, one's name, is a Bible expression which indicates, or which means, one's character or nature or power. So in other words, Jesus Christ has been glorifying God by making manifest the Father's character, the Father's attributes, the Father's power, and his glory to sinners. Christ magnified the Father God as he made known the Father's heart, the Father's teachings, and the Father's worthiness to his people. That was the key aspect of the ministry of Christ on earth. Then the question is, are you familiar with this ministry? Are you aware of the glory of the Father God? Let's read the beginning verse again. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. So far, the Son of God, Christ, has been fulfilling his task, which is to glorify God, to make manifest the Father's power and nature, attributes to the world. But now, the last task is left. There's one more. What's the last task? As we read, Christ is waiting for the hour to come. What does that mean? He wants to glorify God on at the cross. That's what he's praying for. Father, I am glorifying you upon the cross. I am glorified. I'm going to glorify you through my death. That's what Christ is waiting for. But can you grasp this? How does it come across to you? He is praying for his death. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. So Christ is praying that the Father's glory would be revealed on the cross. What Christ is praying for is, through my death on the cross, Father, I want to make manifest who you are. On the place of my sacrifice, I want to reveal who you are, Father. So please bring the hour to come to pass. But what kind of glory can be found in the place of mockery, in the place of shame? What kind of glory can be revealed in the place of the broken relationship between the Father God and the Son? Did you know that? That's the only time that the relationship between the Father and the Son was broken. Dear brothers and sisters, did you know that on the cross, God's glory, the glory of His perfect holiness, His perfect justice was revealed? Why? Because the wrath of God was dealt with on the cross. The wrath of God against your sins was dealt with. So the glory of God's holiness, the glory of the Father's perfect justice was revealed. But at the same time, on the cross, the glory of the Father's love for you was revealed, because that wrath of God was not poured upon you, but upon His only begotten Son. So Christ is longing for His death on the cross for our salvation. Have you ever thought about this? Had He not gone through this hour? Had He avoided this hour, we wouldn't have had any hope in this life. We would have been all doomed to eternal damnation. Have you ever thought about this? But look at Him. Do you find any reluctance of Him before His death? Do you find any lingering of Christ before His death? The question is this hour your hour? Are you connected to this critical hour? 1 John 4:10. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and He sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's the most glorious revelation of His glory to us. Secondly, the Father also glorifies Christ. Then how does the Father God glorify Christ? We can find two things from the text. Number one, God glorifies Christ by bringing Him into the glory of God. Verse 5, now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world exists. God and His glory cannot be separated. It's like you cannot split the sunshine from the sun itself. Likewise, when you are close to God, when you are in the presence of God, the glory of God will impact you. It will impact you. It will transform you intensely. You are overwhelmed by His outshining glory. Christ is praying that God would glorify Him by bringing Him into the glory of God. In other words, Christ wants to be with the Father. He wants to be intimate with the Father. He wants to be in the presence of God. And He wants to savor the glory of God. He wants to be with His Father that He loves. Verse 5 again. Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. What do we learn from here? Christ is the second person of the Holy Trinity. He's the Son of God. So actually, the glory of God is the glory of Christ. He humbled himself to save you and me. And now he wants to be brought back to his own glory. And that's what he's praying for. Father, glorify me. Please bring me back to my own glory that I shared with you. Father, I want to be with you and in your glory. Secondly, number two, Father, God glorifies Christ by granting his people to him. Let's read the second half of the verse 1 and verse 2. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. Did you catch? The Father. It is the Father who gave his people to Christ, including us. So Christ is about to leave. He knows that he cannot be with the, God's people anymore. It must be a heartbreaking to him. Why? Because his people, or we, were entrusted to Christ. By whom? By God. Our Heavenly Father asked Christ to take care of us. The Father is the one whom Christ loves the most. But now the Father entrusted his own people, or us, to Christ. Verse 6, I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. So dear brothers and sisters, did you know that you are the best present to Christ by God? Did you know that you are the most precious present to Christ by God the Father? You are entrusted to Christ by God, and Christ takes care of you, and you are so precious to him. You are the object that of Christ's love. I want you to know that all his care and all his love is for you. All his affection is fixed upon you. Did you know that? That's the key characteristic of our eternal life, isn't it? Christ loves us, and we love him, and we dwell together with Christ. He lives in us. He makes home in our heart because we are so precious to him. If only we can grasp how much Christ cares for us. If only we can grasp how much he delights in us, we will realize the intense relationship between Christ, our husband, our bride, and us, his. He is our bridegroom and we are his bride. Verse 3, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sand. So, do you know how to experience this eternal life? Do you know what it means to savor eternal life? Let me read verses 7 and 8. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them, and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. We are a glorious thing to Christ. Our Father, our Heavenly Father, entrusted us to Christ, and Christ takes it as one of the most glorious things. Lastly, we glorify Christ, or we must glorify Christ. Verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father. Jesus lifted up his eyes to where? Heaven. It shows us that the heart of Christ was tuned to heaven. His mindset was heavenly. The heaven is where your Father is watching over you. The heaven is where your bridegroom is praying for you. But the question is, then, are you heavenly? Is your heart fixed upon heaven? Let me quote John 1:14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. We have seen his glory. So let me change the question. Is your heart fixed upon Christ? Is your heart fixed upon the glory of our Lord? Do you know what it means to behold the glory of Christ? Let's make sure at this moment that our glorifying Christ begins with and goes with our beholding his glory. That's my point. Let's make sure, therefore, that beholding the glory of Christ is not a philosophical or conceptual idea. It's not just theological, some teaching, dry, not realistic thing. 2 Corinthians 3:18. We all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. So our beholding his glory transforms us into the likeness of his glory. So let me read again, John 1:14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So the glory of Christ is gracious. The glory of Christ is truthful. So I want you to ask yourself, am I becoming truthful more and more as I behold, as I gain the knowledge of the glory of Christ? Am I becoming more gracious, more and more as I have grown in the glory of Christ, in the knowledge, in the grace of Christ? Or maybe, am I even interested in gaining the knowledge of the glory of Christ? If you remember, or do you remember, when Isaiah, you know, was confronted with the glory of Christ in Isaiah 6, what happened? Even angels could not handle the outshining glory of Christ. So they had to cover their feet and their eyes. And they said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." What happened to Isaiah? When he was confronted, when he was made to behold Christ's glory, he said, "Oh, woe unto me. I am a man of unclean lips." Have you ever experienced such an instant? Have you ever been brought into the presence of glory? Have you ever been made to behold the glory of Christ? So have you ever shouted, "Ah, Lord, I am a sinner. Lord, every sins are revealed before you. I cannot hide anything from you. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Oh, Lord, cleanse me." Dear brothers and sisters, the Word of God, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And now the same Word is speaking to you. It invites, Christ invites you to behold His own glory through His Word. Do you see? Can you feel His love for you? Do you behold His glory? Do you find Him, His nature, and His mind in the Word of God being preached to you? John 17, verses 9 through 10. "I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me. For they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I am," listen carefully, "I am glorified in them." Dear brothers and sisters, let's not forget that John 17 was not His last prayer for us. He is, at this right moment, He is praying for us. He never stopped praying for us. He will never. He's praying for us that we can behold His own glory. Therefore, don't you want to pray to Him that He will reveal His glory to you more vividly, more intensely? Don't you want to glorify Him who loved you to the end and who gave Himself up for you? Let's pray. Oh Father, please enlarge our understanding of Your Son, Jesus Christ. We want to be overwhelmed by His love and His mercy upon us. So please nourish our heart and please bring us into at the foot of the cross where we can find His love for us. Please be with us and please forgive our sins and please cleanse our sins by the blood of Christ. Please be worshipped by us forever. We pray for the sake of Christ. Amen.